Welcome to One Decent Pastor, a weekly podcast of The Door located in Central Oregon, where three completely average guys join forces to make one decent pastor and to discuss, discover, and promote all things Bible. And we're live on One Decent Pastor.
For those of you who don't know, Brent used to be on a Christian radio station. That's why he has a voice like that.
Is it real radio announcer voice?
Yeah. Kind of goes without saying when you hear it. I mean, it's just like Spokane area weather tonight, partly cloudy skies.
Aren't you supposed to do this? Kind of like that.
Yeah.
Well, did your dad always tell you always had the face for radio?
Yeah. Oh, no, but it works. I worked for Moody Northwest in Spokane, Washington. Moody Radio.
Sweet.
Radio for the heart of Spokane.
And what kind of music did you spin?
Terrible.
Yep.
It was right after becoming a Christian, maybe a year or so, and I went to a Bible college, and then I got this job, and it was on Saturday nights and Sunday nights. It's a kind of terrible time to, you know, be up and around. And it was stuff like George Beverly Shea and Frank Boggs, and these guys that sounded like they had oatmeal in their throat, and it was just like, it was painful.
You just offended all the George Beverly Shea.
Well, I don't know that there's many left. I don't know. Do you know who those guys are?
Of course.
Okay. Well, okay. I don't know. I mean, I was going from, you know, Iron Maiden and, you know, the stuff that Black Sabbath, Dio, and all of a sudden I'm those guys.
You weren't even allowed to play Petra or Striper.
George Beverly Shea used to sing for Billy Graham and some of those guys.
So did Mahalia Jackson.
They had a format thing, and if it said NGT, it meant no good technically. If it said NGX, it was no good for our format. Mm. And so all the good stuff was NGX. Mm. And there was one night where I decided to try out some of those songs and see what they sounded like because I was curious. And so I'm playing them, and I looked down at the radio. It was during a Erwin Lutzer's program, program. I looked down, and all the lights were on the phone. There were three or four lines. They were all lit up at the same time. I thought, well, that's never happened before. And I thought, that's interesting. I looked down, and what I was listening to, I had going out on the air live over the top of Erwin Lutzer. So it was Striper or something like that. Okay.
And at least it wasn't the Smiths.
And I lied to the people.
Yeah.
I said, hey, I don't know. Something seems to be bleeding through. I think we've got it figured out now. I apologize for the, you know, I didn't know what else to say. It was like, it was me. Anyway.
And then did you have a job soon after that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Nobody wants that job. It paid nothing, and it was terrible hours. So.
Hey, you're sitting in a different seat than you usually do. What does your microphone smell like?
It smells like Chad.
Yeah.
No, I said that as a joke, actually.
Yes, you did.
It doesn't really smell like Chad.
It doesn't
smells
smell
like
Chad.
Smells like pickles.
I think he's a Cheetos.
He hates pickles.
Smells like Da Bomb.
Da Bomb.
What did he do with that?
It smells like chicken wings.
He's on his way to New Orleans.
Yeah, the part of Chad is now being played by me. The part of me is being played by Jeff.
And this is getting weird. This is getting complicated.
You guys should switch sides. Just you know, just to
I kind of like my
mix
seat.
It up.
I like my seat.
Yeah, you're pretty stuck in your ways there.
I am.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard.
I sat there once.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a rumor or not, but I heard that Dr. Dobson passed away today.
I just saw that as a headline, 89 years old.
89 years old.
Yeah. I didn't know if he was sick or that was, or not.
Yeah, I don't either. I didn't read an article. Yeah. I just kind of saw like
the
picture of him with
the
date.
Day, so.
Focus on the family.
Yeah. I mean, may not have liked everything that they did, but there's a lot of stuff I gleaned over the years from
really good stuff.
Yes, some good stuff there
stuff.
That has affected my life forever.
Yeah.
It certainly affected mine because when Nancy was a new Christian, one of the things that she was able to do was to listen to it's not family, focus on the family, when she was in her early 20s. And I have benefited from that as my kids and a lot of other people that she's had influence on through the years.
Adventures in Odyssey and all that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that came along later and that affected more, you know, with my daughter. But just the, you know, the strong-willed child and some of the things that he addressed that really weren't top topics.
Yeah.
There was a lot of practical stuff that,
there was,
that he would put
out. Yeah.
Yeah, so, if anybody out there is listening right now, maybe let me know that this is working in the comment section because Chad normally does this, and I think we're live.
Oh, okay.
But that would kind of stink if we weren't.
Yeah,
so
how do you?
Recording at least, aren't you?
It says live.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're good.
I don't know how to do a do-over on your whole radio segment that you talked about.
Would, right. It would just be lost forever. Wouldn't that be a shame?
It would stink, dude.
Yeah. Oh, well. Man. Anyway. It's good to be back. I missed 3 weeks in a row. I listened to the last week's discussion. It was very good. I think it's been a real profitable series. I'm kind of looking forward to today's, but we'll see how that goes.
I think we're going to be fine.
I think we will, too. But It'll be interesting.
Are you nervous?
No. Why would I? I'm confident, bro.
We've gotten a little beat up on this subject a little bit here and there from some of our peers. So we'll see.
Well, maybe we can just start by saying that. I don't have a problem with people that view the formalization or non-formal like different than me. I just have a problem when they say that the way they do it is exactly how I need to do it. And we're going to probably talk a little bit about some, right? That's kind of the difference is when people go like this and go, what are you doing not doing it like me? And it's like, well, there's room here, I'm pretty sure.
Well, it's kind of like communion, right? Is that there's different ways that people do it and there's we don't see a prescription for the A, B, C, D, this is how you have to do it.
Right.
I think
right.
It's some do it every week, some do it once a month, some do it every quarter, and I know churches that do it once a year, which...
Yeah, so it's good. To me, it's profitable to hear, different angles and why people do it in different ways. Like, that's helpful. Just don't tell me I have to do it.
Brandon Victorino said morning, so that must mean we're on and live. So thank you, Brandon.
Good morning, Brandon. And... these are one of those notes
that
a pastor needs to get every once in a while. So
we walked up here into the room this morning, and there's a box on the table with a note on it from a faithful congregant. Mm-hmm. Maybe one might even say a member, David.
That's what Jeff said. Right when he saw it, he's like, is she a member?
Yes, I think so.
That's awesome.
Anyway.
See, if you have members, you get things like that.
Well, she's an absolute member.
This is actually, that's not because it's a member. It just says, to whom it may concern.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It says, to my pastors.
To my pastors.
She never signed nothing. We don't even have a file on this lady.
No.
And she's a member.
Anyway.
We don't want to know about her because she have a file on.
Very special words from her and a very nice gift.
Super
Chad, just Chad, in case you didn't or wondering, there's nothing in the box, Chad.
Yeah, it's empty.
So.
Oh, well, there's a picture of Janet in there smiling at us, but nothing else. Oh, did I just say Janet?
You said it. That's all right.
Thank you, sweetie.
Yeah, why
thank
not?
You very much.
Amazing.
Recognize her.
Yep.
We're going to miss her.
It's hard to lose good
people.
We're
going to find her
a
church,
like,
and Jeff has a couple possibilities down there, a couple connections. So.
Okay, oh, cool. We're going to launch.
Are we?
Launch.
Okay. Before
should we do that?
Go past Brent's time frame.
Well, we're already almost 7 minutes in, so.
Well, enough banter.
And that a counts. Lot of that's on you about the whole Moody Radio thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're in our series, nine-mark series, about what constitutes a healthy church, and this is the second week on church membership. And what Nine Mark says on their website about church membership is this. According to the Bible, church membership is a commitment of every Christian should make to attend, love, serve, and submit to a local church. Now, last week, we spent some time talking about the making a distinction between the universal church and local church. And so with that, and I encourage you to kind of, if you haven't heard that, to go ahead and get that under your belt, too.
Go ahead and be confused.
Because we're
going
to pick up
it.
In middle, kind of middle of the stream here. So
can I make a quick distinction?
Yes.
I would say the visible and the invisible church would also be ways to view that.
Sure.
Because it's not always, when we talk about members, it's like you don't always know who a Christian is and who isn't.
Sure.
You know, there might be a claim. So when we talk about the visible church, we are generally talking about what we see
what
around
see.
Us, which is the local church. But
which is why your membership in the body of Christ is worked out, you know,
in a local
correct.
Practically in a local church.
It's partly, partly why baptism matters. We talk about sometimes baptism is kind of like the front door into the church. It's because it's the visible thing we see as far as membership goes in the way we kind of look at it. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So thank you for that. So, so can we distill our discussion down to one main question? What constitutes biblical local church membership? And the follow-up to that is, if you want to flesh it out a little bit, are there privileges, responsibilities, and duties that come with that membership? And if so, what are they? What constitutes biblical local church membership?
He keeps looking at me.
Well, you guys talked about this last
week,
so I wasn't ready to get on.
Well, I got the root, the word constitutes, I kind of overlooked, so I was like, profession of faith and baptism, but that's not what constitutes it. So
what does?
Well, didn't we answer this last week?
Well, maybe not, because he's asking it again.
Oh.
So I think when you think about entrance into the church, you know, the universal church.
It is biblical, local church.
It is profession of faith and baptism. When you talk about the local church, to me, it goes back to that word commitment. Yeah. And I think that's what you guys mentioned last week. So that the idea that
the one to another.
Yeah, somebody's there, they're serving, they're committed. That can be based on a verbal, it could be observation, it could be a verbal kind of a thing that they tell you, which we have that here, I think, is kind of what we shoot for. And then some people do more of a written statement or something where you sign on the dotted line. But ultimately, I think commitment is the word you guys used last week, and I thought that was helpful.
Yeah, we kept coming back to that word a lot. Yeah.
Okay, so you say the responsibilities are kind of the one another's?
Yeah. From leadership to congregants, as well as congregants to leadership, as well as congregants to congregants, like all the way around, every component, every piece involved has, I think is what we were bringing up last week, has a commitment, has responsibilities to each other, and necessities that they need from others. So those need to be active. Well, that constitutes
part of the responsibility in my mind is that as pastors, we need to make sure that people understand who we are as a church, what we believe as a church, make sure that that's very much, you know, out there for them to know. And as a congregant, you need to want to seek that out as well. So becoming a member of a church or becoming a committed person, whatever you want to call that, you should know what you're buying into.
That's what we're talking about today, is what you call that.
Yeah, it is.
What that looks like.
Yeah, but the idea that you don't, you know, there's a lot of people that will show up. That's why we used to do newcomers lunches fairly frequently. Probably need to do them again, is you get a lot of that out of the way. I think we tend to mirror what we think, you know, hey, I'm at this church, and you just think everybody else believes like I believe. Well, that may not be true. And so kind of learning what a church believes and making sure that we're doing our due diligence.
So there has to be a certain buy-in with respect to what the doctrinal framework, you know,
absolutely,
of the church is, you know, not what only the dimension lumber is of what we believe.
Not only the doctrinal framework, but I would even say kind of the mission and the method of the church to some degree. You know, if you're not on the bus with us going the direction we're going, it's going to create problems. And so, if we're just a church that you can't stand or the way we do church or the way we do ministry or whatever, probably not a great fit.
Well, I think he says that, I mean, in this description, attend, love, serve, and submit to a local church. Mm. I think those words, obviously they're using those intentionally, but I think it helps us to understand that as far as the invisible church, or I think about it kind of as the global church, right? Everybody that makes a profession of faith and is baptized is a member of that global church. But I think God's designed it to live out in a local body of believers, and that's why I think it's important to be in a church where you have ownership, where you do agree with. I think most of the doctrinal statements are important. I don't think you probably are going to agree with every doctrinal statement of a church that you attend, but the core ones are very critical. And then I think the mission and vision of a church is important, that you're buying into that, because otherwise, I think otherwise, then it's just too easy to become a consumer. And that is the culture that we live in.
Or you're just asking for disunity not far down the road.
Yeah, down the road, it's gonna blow up. It's like you...
Well, and even on the things that we would say are the debatables, the disputables, or whatever, and church membership could be a good example of that, is that if a church lays that out, what that looks like, then even if somebody doesn't necessarily, that's not their favorite flavor, right? They know the direction a church is going to go because they've said so, right?
Yep.
Right. So does that make
sense?
From
the beginning,
Right.
Yep. Yeah, so then there's no surprise or bait and switch down the road, right? It's like, this is who we are, this is what we believe, and you get to decide whether you can buy into that or not. And if you don't want to buy into that, then I think we have a responsibility then as pastors to say, you know, I'm not sure this is the best fit for you.
Completely.
I can help you find a church that might be a better fit, and we can help them find other church. I don't have any problem doing that, because then we can send them to a church that maybe is a better fit for them by way of doctrine and beliefs and how they're going to live that out. Because I do agree. I think if that's not clear from the beginning, you're just looking sometimes for a fight down the road. Right.
So when you say that, though, Jeff, laying these things out and being pretty specific about it, doesn't that, now I'm ready to take the arrows here, but doesn't that lend itself to a kind of a formal church membership where you say this and this and this and this, and as opposed to leaving some of that maybe unformalized? Is that a word?
Well, yeah.
You know,
well,
doesn't it lend itself to that's
well,
question,
obviously right? not all formalizations are wrong, right? Like some of them are helpful, and this is a helpful one, is we found it helpful, and it's not some big hoop to jump through. It's just, hey, we're having a membership class for those of you who are new. Come and ask your questions. Come and hear what we're about. I mean, that's a very informal formalization.
That's the newcomer's lunch,
not
a membership class.
Well, same thing. Are you going to get on board here?
I would say the two guys in the room might not say it's the same thing.
We have different definitions for these things.
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes we get caught up in the word formal, right? You know, as I think
that's a sticky word too, right?
That can sometimes be the challenge, because to some, formal can mean, well, if you want to be a member, just come forward on a Sunday morning and we'll invite you to membership. For some, it's a whole 4-step process to get to become a member.
6-month course,
your credit card and blood sample and urine sample and all those things, you know. But I think I do think it's important.
Quarterly drug tests.
What are you? That's right.
All right. Well, he brought it up.
Because I've been a part of churches that have that very formal process, and what I found is that sometimes it can either do one of two things. One, it can either raise the importance and value of membership, or it can hinder them from becoming that, right? And so...
Because it sets the bar too high?
And it's intimidating to others. I mean, I think...
Or they think they're doing something extra biblical.
Well, yeah, but I think the part of it is that it, like, we used to have the church that we have been a part of in the past, that if you were baptized, then like you became a member of the church. That was it was one and done. That was the process. But there was a process you had to go through actually to become that. Yeah. And I think that I think there's a sense where when we're baptized, when we make a profession of faith, when we're baptized, we do become a member of the global church, right? Or the universal church or the invisible church.
Sure.
But there is an aspect where going through a process of membership, however formal or informal we want it to be, I think it helps us. I think it helps us as pastors and elders to know the people. I think it helps us to know who they are and what they believe. And I think that's as pastors and elders to be the ones that are pursuing those people in membership.
But truth be told, like if they're attending and let's just say committed on basic levels, like a member of the church should be, we are going to get to know them and they're going to get to know us without having to add anything additional. Like if we're just all doing what we should be doing as members of the body of Christ, we're going to be knowing each other. Is that safe to say?
But right at that point, I'm sorry, were you done?
Sure. I don't know. Hang on. What are you going to say?
I'll keep talking. Okay. So
I need a backup plan.
So if there are duties, can we say that?
And I might giggle.
Privileges, responsibilities of the church has to one another. Isn't it incumbent, or isn't it part of the job of church leadership to make sure that people know what those are?
Yeah, the Bible informs us what those things are. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. To parse it out, I mean, you don't want to go back and get all 613 commandments, you know, and lay those out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So isn't it important to have something that is definable, because if you don't, then the member doesn't know if they're getting there, if they're fulfilling their responsibilities or their duties, if they're not defined.
Yeah, I was just specifically speaking to what he was talking about, getting to know each other, like that we need to be getting to know who they are. Not all I was saying is if they're committed, even just attendance-wise, then we're going to... This is a little different.
But, okay. Well, but defining those things to me is, again, what do we use to define those things? And it would be God's Word. So when Jesus in the Great Commission said, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, that's the role of the church.
It's the role of the pastor.
So, of course, we're to be about that. As far as, like, a list of specific things that we're supposed to make sure that is definable for a member, I don't know where we would find that in the Bible. Again, this is my struggle with a lot of this, and you brought this up just a second ago.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff is extremely practical. The question is it biblical? And it doesn't mean it's a bad thing to have formal membership where it's very defined and laid out. Very practical to have it. I understand all the practical reasons. But again, there's a part of me that thinks, do we see this in our New Testament? Do we see this laid out in the same practical way that I'm hearing guys fight for it today? And I don't think we do.
He said fight. We didn't.
Well, you know what I mean.
I do.
Well, I have seen people fight for it.
People fight. So
the people. That's why I started by saying what I said in the beginning. Is I've been on the back end of the aggression of people that have held the formality of membership like this, their mm-hmm. idea, and I agree. It's not bad to add practicalities and at your local level because of whatever reason they made sense. Just don't punch me in the face because I don't. You know, that's
the one of the ones that we hear, and I don't mean to be jumping ahead, but one of the ones we hear repeatedly mentioned is the cover your backside scenario. Like if you have somebody that signs something and agrees to the church membership, they can't sue you and these kinds of things. And it's like, what are we trusting in end of the day for, you know, either God's going to build his church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. If you've got something signed and in writing that they can't sue you for, it's a weird. You know, and again, for centuries, the church didn't have anything like that or worry about that.
Well, they trust and faith in general, I think,
they didn't have lawyers, but anyway.
It's true. We could get sued. It could happen. I realize that's a possibility, but at the end of the day, we have to trust God. And the other thing is, it's like we can only discipline those who have signed something. Again, that's a slippery thing, too. Yeah. That the Bible doesn't say that. If you've got somebody who's coming to your church and calls themselves a Christian, then they're subject for reproof if they're doing something that they shouldn't be, whether they've signed something or not.
Exactly.
And I see that weird dynamic. You know, it's another frustrating thing. It's like, okay, we're members, we'll treat them this way, and we'll minister to them, we'll shepherd them, we'll disciple them. Non-members, they're kind of back burner people that we don't really worry about. And that's a weird thing to me, too.
This is great having you here, dude. I don't even have to say any of my notes. This is fantastic.
And there's times we have to stand before, I mean, there's a kind of day where we stand before the Lord, and you can't say, well, they didn't sign on the dotted line, and they did, so I didn't pay attention to their marriage, but I'm going to pay attention, you know, or whatever it happens to be.
I don't want to hear that conversation when they get before God.
Well, I don't think it's
strange to me.
I mean, in my mind, I don't differentiate those. Like, you know, we have people at our church that are members, and those that are, I just call them regular attenders. They're there. They come every week.
There you go. That's better.
And I'm responsible for them, you know, and I'm accountable to them, you know, regardless of whether they signed a dotted line, so to speak, or not. And I think sometimes the formality of a process maybe just helps us. Maybe it's a tool that can be used, that sometimes maybe that can help us as pastors and elders, because the truth is, no matter how small or big a church is, at least for me, I know it's difficult for me to always know everybody that's come consistently as getting plugged in different ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's sometimes the process of membership, if someone's interested in that, helps me to get to better know them and understand them. And I think part of what we have to be committing to in that process as well. And one of the things that's for us is that we're really just telling the people, like, you know what, here's what we're asking from you and here's what we're offering you, right? Here's what we're going to be doing for you as your pastors and elders.
Right. But that does require some definition, right? It can't be just like, well, whatever the Bible says, that's what we're going to do. And I think we have to, acknowledge too, though, that in talking about this, we can go to extremes in either way.
Totally.
That's not what we want to do.
Agree.
Because you can say, well, since I have, we can start calling a membership form a contract, and we can look at it that way and start, you know, swinging the hammer about, you know, this thing and that thing. And everybody knows about abuses of that's happened. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're also not talking about just not having any definition at all to anything, to where there's no basically accountability unless we decide we want it to be at that particular place. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In other words, we're just going from squishy over here to black and white with hammer driven over here. And that's not what we're talking about. I mean, if we go there, the debate just loses, I think it loses a lot of helpful information, like Jeff was talking about, like this being a tool to add definition to what it is that we're talking about, that it about the responsibilities that we're taking with one another, regardless of whether it's informal or formal. Let me ask this question. Do you think that in the in this environment that there is that we should be that the part of the conversation should be that we are No, I lost it. I'll think of it in a minute. I was stalling by talking. Yeah, right. I lost it. I'll come back with it in a minute because.
It might be helpful to point out. I don't know that we're super far off from each other when it comes down to, because sometimes, you know, I think you phrased it as formal and informal membership. Oftentimes, I usually do that. David will talk about strong membership. And, you know, we actually.
I said it last week and he said. He made sure everyone knew that was my term.
Well, the reason
was that wrong?
I just didn't know it would be something you would want to distance yourself from. That's a rad term, man. Strong membership or like high membership.
So we actually do think that membership is important. The idea of this contract kind of a thing where you sign something, we don't do that here. But we have asked people for a verbal commitment that you see us as your pastors, that you're on board with what we believe and the direction the church is going, and that you're part of our, you know, you're on mission with this is kind of the way we've asked it to be phrased. They don't sign anything. But we have asked for that, and some of the people that have done that are going strong, and they're here, and some of them aren't here, and they're not, you know, they're fringe still or whatever. So
and some of them are here, but not here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's true. But so some of the other people that have talked about, I mean, when it comes down to the people we've talked to and had discussions with, we're not that far off practically in the way we work things out or what we expect and what we do. And so some of this just comes down to, you know, semantics a little bit, maybe. I don't think we're informal in the sense that we're not casual about membership, but we don't have like roles, you know, where we actually have people listed out that these are our members. And again, I'm not even sure you see that in the New Testament. And unless you're voting, which again, I don't see that in the New Testament either. The idea of, you know, the church.
We're squishy with a hammer.
Yeah. I don't know why you would need that squishy, you know, other than a practical.
Okay, well then
it's a jelly hammer.
The word that I lost before was focus. So
that's kind of ironic, you know, isn't
Jeff,
it?
Yeah, right.
Focus. Focus, will you?
Hey, listen, dude. I'm in my mid-70s. You get what you get. You know.
What's that word? They call that ADD, I think. Don't
yeah,
they?
Right.
Sorry. Focus.
Yeah. What? So is there a difference then? Jeff said that, you know, there are people that are in his church sometimes occasionally or whatever, as well as those that are what you would say attendance-wise are stronger members.
Or committed.
Committed members, thank you. Is there a difference then pastorally in your commitment is in the focus of one group, or is it all the same?
Yeah, I think it's all, in my mind, it's all the same.
Well, it's greater just based on the fact that they're here more often. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're here every Sunday and you come to everything during the week, you know, the focus on them is going to be greater because they're actually they're availing themselves to more focus. But as far as like, if somebody who was a non-member was struggling with something and they called us and said, when I say non-member, I'm sorry, but fringe person called us and said, hey, we need to meet. We wouldn't say, sorry, I've got three members ahead of you that are more. We just wouldn't do that. We don't prioritize in that same way.
We kind of feel like what God wants us to do, like our responsibility as ministers, are that which is in front of us at any given moment. You see what I'm saying? So there's not times where that can go for too far or there's priorities that need to happen, but we tend to approach it that way instead of, you know, seeing a line of people who've been faithful or have been committed or have been responsible and then people who haven't. And then that kind of, we just go, oh, God's brought this person in front of me for a reason right now. And they need my shepherding help. I'm going to shepherd
them.
And
the counsel we give them almost every time is plug into the church.
Right. First and foremost, right?
So, well, sure. I think there,
that's the goal.
I think there is though at times a sense where you might take, let's say, someone that's more of a committed member, they're faithful, they're serving, they're regularly here, as opposed to someone who, you know, maybe they're here, you know, 1.6 Sundays a month or whatever it might be. Their feedback, their critique even at times is probably going to carry more weight than somebody that's just sort of loosely connected.
Sure. At times. Right? And some of it might happen.
But
to
I don't
with
think
what
you care about them any less, and I don't think that you're conversations with them are any different. In fact, my conversation with someone that's loosely connected might be stronger than someone that's not, in the sense that I want to challenge them to.
So I would say
to get connected, right, to have some ownership here.
And I think it depends on what it is that is the necessity of that meeting or that shepherding. You know what I mean? Because you're right. Like a lot of times when you have someone who is faithful and is mature and is plugged in, they're not having this huge crisis, like I need the pastor crisis, right? But a lot of times it is the encouraging that these people down here need. They need a hand that goes, and that's not important. That's extremely important if we read our Bibles to grab the fringe and to push them up the hill or to pull them up the hill.
Yeah.
That's part, yeah.
So there's always the issue, whether it's member or not, a strong member, somebody that's regular and somebody that's not, of the squeaky wheel, right?
Yeah.
The one that's got all of these needs, as opposed to the more faithful church member that needs encouragement to grow and to you know have to be led into some things, but he's not squeaking, right?
So I make the distinction real quick? There's a difference between people that are going
back to the question of focus.
Well, no, there's a I want to clarify something you just said just for people. There's a difference, in my opinion, between people that are squeaky wheels and people that are going through hard things. You know what I mean? That may take something more extensive as far as, you know, the time that I put into them. There's a difference. So like the squeaky wheel to me are those who aren't really taking the counsel and aren't really over and over again walking in that which you're giving them to walk in,
but
constantly want to take from you, right? And constantly, that's a squeaky wheel. But then there's people that go through just hard stuff, hard seasons in life, hard circumstances that are really needing a lot of attention, but they're not squeaky. Like to me, those are two different things.
Well, we'd be willing to cut off a squeaky wheel and say, hey, we're not going to continue to give you time. You're not, nothing's changing. You're just, you know, that's not.
Yeah, you're not taking the counsel. I have nothing to offer you.
Our focus should always go there.
Yeah, and I think with the squeaky wheel, you know, the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets grease. I think there's a sense where if the squeaky wheel will actually become connected to the body more consistently, faithfully, regularly, loving, attending, serving, they'll squeak less.
Right.
And the times when they will squeak, there's a group of people around them because maybe they're walking through something really difficult in their lives that's going to help ease the pain, right? And I think that's where getting connected to a local body of believers is so critical. But I guess I just don't. I mean, when I look at the culture around us, I think especially of the next generation coming up, I don't know that they see the value either in church membership and I don't know that they even see why it's necessary. And I think that can be a hindrance sometimes. And I think it's helping them to understand it. It's not about you necessarily signing a piece of paper or going through this process. It's actually about you being connected, about you loving this church, attending this church, serving in this church, being faithful here. And we're responsible for you.
So let's talk about that just for a second in cultural context. Is it... typical that where there are commitments, duties, responsibilities, privileges of anything, is it typical in our culture where there is some kind of formal arrangement or not?
Corporately, yeah.
I'm not sure what you mean by formal
like
arrangement.
I mean, like if you decided that you're going to be in my son's in a
like jiu-jitsu club, soccer league, or something like that.
Do you sign up? I mean, when you go to a country club, do you sign up? When you go, okay.
Let me take this just down to the other end
of the spectrum. Okay, if you want to be in a gang, you get the tats, and people expect that. Is that not true?
They get jumped in. Which I think would be a good form of membership.
That could be a formal church membership.
We could probably get behind this. I've been wanting to get my first tattoo.
No, this is getting interesting now. I like this.
I repent.
No.
Well, this is what I found, and I was going to kind of tie this into what you were saying. The people that do sign up to do something or commit to do something in the church, it changes their entire relationship with the church. All of a sudden, it's not the church they go to, it's their church. And so this is critical, mission critical to, if you want to, you know, have it just be somewhere you go on a Sunday and you're kind of on the fringe, keep doing nothing. If you want to actually make this like part of your life and an important part of your life, start to serve. And the other interesting thing is when you have these people that are committed, that are really doing life together, they're part of the church during the week, we don't have to pay a lot of attention to them because the church is doing this pastoral membership or membership care, whatever you want
to
call it.
It's doing what it's told to do as far as what membership.
So it's like you don't, you know, we're dealing with all these fringe things, these wing nuts on the outskirts that are, you know, that won't do what they're supposed to do. That takes up a lot of your time.
It does.
Sorry, wing nuts.
Sorry.
But it's when you're bought in.
It kind of
takes care of itself in a lot of ways. It doesn't mean that we don't need to pay attention to the people that are bought in. That's a whole other conversation that we need to learn to do that better and focus on that at times, because I think people don't want to bug us, and they should bug us.
So is the question then isn't it that whether or not formalizing and defining what a membership is helps or hurts?
I haven't seen it be valuable in the sense that I've had people tell me that they're committed and they weren't, and I've had people not say anything to me and they were. So, I mean, people are committed or they're not. I don't think signing something or formalizing something fixes that. That's been my experience. Maybe it does.
Okay. Let me.
Because I think there, I mean, like, I know there's churches that I've been a part of that I've come into as a pastor, and I can see somebody that's a member and somebody that's not. And sometimes the one that's not is actually more committed.
You know who they are, don't you?
Sure. And sometimes I've been in churches where there's a member and like, I'm not sure they're a believer, you know? Sure. And so I don't think that formal membership equates to,
it won't bridge a lack of commitment or, you know, being a Christian. It won't bridge that. But for Christians, does formalizing it help? Let me give you an example. The Capitol Hill Baptist Church, which is the church that Mark Dever, who was the head of the Nine Marks program, I heard him on a podcast here not too long ago ask if somebody knew what the most common thing that Capitol Hill Church disciplines over. You know what it was? Attendance.
Don't
jump down to the last part of Matthew 18 there, but let's start with about inquiring, checking on people. Okay.
Yeah.
If they're not here, you know, it's not just the door, but there's this thing where people feel like they can be a part of the church and they're members of the church on the Sundays that they want to go.
Yep.
And if they don't, they don't. So, I mean, is there any follow-up on that kind of thing?
So you
see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I started to bring this up last week at the end. We ran out of time.
Okay.
I kind of foresaw this coming. Like and I don't think we're unique, but we're kind of unique in our immediate local context in that we're in a recreational area. Yeah. We're in a resort area. Half of our members that are actually bought in, that are actually committed, they live life in the church committed to other people, are gone half the year. Mm-hmm. Or they're retired, so they're here for 2 weeks, gone for 2 weeks, here for 4 weeks, gone for 4 weeks, right? And so it's really hard to look at what that should be, like how to measure, you know, those things. And then jump on somebody or not jump on somebody or.
It starts with encouragement, look at the big chart up on the wall and where the stars aren't in the Sundays that they were there. That's not where you start. It's at a much
more. But speaking of attendance.
It is.
There's some challenge. There's some.
It's
got to be squishy.
We have an attendance chart in our sanctuary that we just put up. So
are you stars?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh man,
dude, that, I was going to say that is rad. If you actually did
that. We actually put the members' faces or the people's faces that have missed more than 2 weeks in a row.
What so we're doing is we're taking the cross down from behind the pulpit and putting up a attendance chart.
Mugshots.
I think part of what I think you're alluding to is that, you know, there is a sense in our minds at times, and I think it with others that value church membership, that membership equals ownership. Right, like if I'm becoming a member of something, whether it's a church or something else, I'm taking ownership in being a part of that, you know. And the sad thing I think in my mind sometimes is that going back to the cultural thing is that there are people that actually are more committed to their clubs outside the church than they are to the church.
Totally,
you know. And I think no matter who it is, I think we do have a responsibility to those that were like, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so for 4 or 5 weeks, or, you know, they attend about 1.5 Sundays a month. You know what? I think there's a responsibility that we have to go and just build a relationship with them and have the conversation to say, as believers in Christ, I think Hebrews is pretty clear in what it tells us, that we're not to forsake this assembling, that it's, and to lay out for them, not just the Bible says it, so do it, but here's the value of being connected to a local body of believers, what it brings to us and what it brings to you. Because exactly. You think about how, you know, Paul lays out in 1 Corinthians 12 about the church being the body of Christ. And I just don't know that people realize your lack of loving and serving and being faithful to this church actually causes us to function in a handicapped way. Like, we're missing a piece of our body.
So right? This is what we talked about last week. Okay. This was our primary focus.
I wasn't there, so.
on membership last week is exactly what you're talking about. And I feel like this is the first domino, well, the first foundation that needs to be established when it comes to a doctrine of church membership is what it means, what the body of Christ is, and what it means that you're a part of the body, what it means for you,
right,
and what it means for others. So we established that last week, and that's what I think. Once that's established and we do our job as shepherds, reinserting that over and over again in the congregants' minds, it's not about then how formal or informal everything else is, right? Like, you're going to start building right things on that right doctrine of membership.
Well, and I think what can happen with the formality of membership at times, too, is that once someone becomes a member, all right, you leave them alone.
Totally.
Check that box.
Tell something's going on, and now... Yeah. Now we got to come in and we got to have a conversation.
Right.
You know, it's like,
but that's the implementation, isn't it? And,
right.
And that's the practice of it, because I think, you know, on either one of these, regardless of which side of this you're falling on, the way that it is implemented and the way that it's the body culture that comes down from the leadership and the way that it's implemented really is at least as important as whether it's formal or not.
Totally agree.
But it's also a good idea, I think, to define. For instance, I think this is right, that to use Capitol Hill again as a
as what not to do.
Well, as a
sorry.
Template.
I'm sorry, Mark.
An arguing park. So
yeah, he might come here.
Yeah, I was going to say you got to back off.
No, he might.
So I know. Might. Well, not if you keep after it. But
we're going to have him on here. And we're going to talk about membership.
Okay. All right. Well,
that can be
so
a good discussion.
So, yeah. But is in their membership, their formal membership, is to say that, you know, you are expected to be here unless you are out of town or otherwise providentially hindered. In other words, you don't get up on Sunday morning and decide, am I going to go to church today? Because you're committing to.
But then the question is that, or what?
What?
Or what? Because what do they do then? So that then they remove you from the membership role?
No,
and
no,
if
no.
you show
up,
they don't let you have communion? Or, I mean, that's the weird part, is you get into these weird... When you're that, I don't know how that all gets handled in different churches.
Well, but it's
goes
it's
legalistic not, quickly.
It,
yeah,
it doesn't start that way. But again, you know, Hebrews 10:25, there is
right. So that's know, so that's why there's pursuit.
Don't forsake it.
Right. You know? So that's why there's pursuit.
So we're trying to help you do this.
So you don't ignore the person that's not attending without good excuses. You're pursuing them, right? That's what a good shepherd does. That's what a good committed body of Christ, member or not. So it's so I don't think you need to go like completely formal on somebody who's not attending. You know, I don't think it needs to be a discipline issue, like a formal discipline issue. I think if we're again doing what we should be doing, we're pursuing them, we're calling them, we're seeing where they're at, we're calling them back into the body, right? Into attendance. We're calling them to right living. We're calling them to right commitment. I just think it's not, I think as humans, we want something more than that. You know what I mean? Like we want to draw a line that doesn't allow for
maybe
well, that
want
work to be done.
It. Yeah. You want to define
well, the Bible
what
kind
the
of
expectation is.
Hebrews does.
And if a person, okay, let's just go this far then.
Oh boy.
So if a person had not been attending, and they were not providentially hindered, and they weren't out of town, you're saying, yeah, you do have something that's definable that you talked to them about. This was part of what you signed up for, right? And this is an important thing.
Yeah.
So, but if it's not defined, you still want to do the same kind of thing, but there's no definition of what the expectation is. And that's really, I guess, what this whole question about formal membership is. Is there are defined expectations helpful or harmful?
I don't understand why they would be different between somebody who was a member and somebody who wasn't. If they're doing something the Bible says is wrong, and you approach them with it. Now, what you do from there might be different. That's why I was asking, or what? Because, again, if you've got somebody that rarely comes, that calls themselves a Christian, and you say, hey, you should come more frequently, and they don't take you up on it, I get kind of lost in it. Is it different for a member than a non-member? Because the Bible is what defines it. Again, that's why I'm asking, when you talk about these definitions of what membership is, it's got to be the Bible that defines it, not something we come up with. And so if the Bible defines it,
the Bible defines it as don't forsake doing it.
Sure,
exactly. But it also doesn't quantify it, right? Like, hey, here's the line that they cross if they miss this many Sundays. And so this is where we have to be careful. But that scripture, I think, would hold up. It would be capable as a God-given word, a prescription for the member to hold up in convicting when it's brought to that person, that person's approached with that scripture. I don't think we need to say it was this many days and you were only supposed to miss this many days. I don't think we need to define that.
That's not what it says. Okay. The thing just says, unless, when you're not out of town or providentially hindered. If you're sick, your kid's got a championship soccer game that's at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and you want to go to it, great, that's fine. But
that's providentially
hindered. What it does do, though, is there is a, I think this is right, you guys can speak to this, that there is a vast amount of people who consider themselves members and part of the church that are very uncommitted in terms of church attendance. Just that one thing.
Can I ask a question?
I agree. Yeah.
How committed do you think they are to the live stream?
Way more committed.
We have not helped these people, have we? No. We have actually allowed them to be more comfortable to not come and do the one to another
through the Sunday morning live stream.
Yeah.
No, you're
that's
right.
A whole other discussion.
We've done it to ourselves. We shot ourselves in the foot.
The attendance one, for instance, I think if we had somebody, we've had this obviously over the years, somebody who doesn't show up for a while, and you go and you talk to them about it, we miss you, haven't seen you a bunch. Again, there's steps. You're trying to pull them back in. But if they're involved in ministry or something like that at the church and they quit coming, we would say, hey, we're gonna hand this off to somebody else. We just don't see you that much anymore. And at some point, I don't know what you do with that exactly, because I can think of somebody right now that, they used to be very committed. They're not anymore. What do you do with that? Do you actually go and... And what would that discipline look like under membership versus under non-membership?
Well, membership card.
And that's what I don't know.
Okay.
What you're saying is it wouldn't be like all other discipline. Or not.
I don't think it would. But again, you can say, we're revoking your membership. But if they're not coming,
But it's just like anything else. Okay, so let's talk about this. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul talks about putting people out.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, I think that's where you go before the church and again, normally the way we would do that,
who's the church?
We would call people that call themselves Christians and call the door of their home. We would have a meeting probably after the Sunday morning service because we get a lot of visitors.
Whoever happened to be there that Sunday would be the church.
Yeah. But again, you're assuming that Christians should be at church every Sunday, and you're publicly addressing that to the committed members of the church to let them know what's going on.
So a lot of that has to do with, in 1 Corinthians 5, in my opinion, with how what you define out is meaning.
Right, right.
Most, I think that maybe you, I could be wrong, are assuming that that means membership. I don't. They're a member. If they've been baptized and they have a profession of faith, like we talked about, they're a member that can't be revoked.
It's fellowship.
They're outside of the one another's. They're outside of the benefits of what we get by being in committed fellowship with each other as members. They don't cease to become a member.
Do they need to know that?
Yeah.
Against.
So someone will go tell them.
Against. Well, but. So
and also know they're welcome back.
I'm church member, church member X, and I come and I say, but I've been here twice in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
What are you after me for? How much? What's the standard? What difference, you know?
Right.
So how many of these people, here I think is really the one of the central questions, is how many people don't know that there's an expectation for them to meet regularly with the body when it's convenient, when it's not
convenient? I get the practicality of that, but again, the Bible doesn't say you must be at church 3 out of 4 weeks.
It does say don't forsake it.
It does. So more often than not would be what I would
say. And that's where I believe the Holy Spirit, like when that's applied properly to somebody, that God can do his work through that scripture. Like even I told you there was someone last week who, you know, who saw this and was like, gosh, I'm convicted. And we didn't talk about how many days or, you know, this person's been missing or how many days they were required to show up. It's just that they know the principle, the heart principle of that scripture without even being told, right? Now, it doesn't mean you don't tell them, but we were talking about that and that they were pricked, you know what I mean? And we didn't have to, again, quantify or exact anything. It was just like, we just spoke truth, like the truth of, sure, you know, attendance mattering and commitment mattering, and it did its thing. And so I agree that that in Hebrews there's no lines drawn, but there is a life guiding principle and conviction that's drawn there.
Well, and again, I think we're shooting for more often than not.
And it looks different for different people.
More often than not seems to be a good rule of thumb. But again, to define this many days out of this many months or whatever, I don't think it does.
It's the other end of that, yeah. Brent. If you're not, you know, not around, if you're out of town or whatever, or otherwise providentially hindered. So yeah, it's kind of like these are the things by which you, by which we understand that you would miss, because we're missing something, you're missing something.
Right.
These are the things. We're not talking about days. I
think we know that just by so even when we do our debriefs on Sunday, we get together, who was there, who wasn't there, we talk about that. Mm-hmm. When we start to see people missing, we actually put kind of a, you know, what do you
APB.
Call it?
APB.
Yep. Out, yeah,
on,
totally.
Yeah. Yeah, on Sunday mornings, we'll just say, hey, has anybody run into so-and-so? Let's all reach out to them. Let's let them know. Sometimes we get a hold of them, find out what's going on. Sometimes they're just gone and we try to pull them back in. But I mean,
and it's organic. It's not formal. It's just something that we know we should be doing.
And don't do it perfectly. There's times.
Well, there is a formality to it. It's just not as like you got to sort of, you know,
correct.
That's where I think
you mean actually getting a hold of them.
Well, I mean, there's still
a defined process.
Yeah. There's still a process to it. And I think that's where
we're sitting around debriefing.
I think we still get caught up in the word formal, right? Like, okay, formal, informal, however you want to call it.
Right.
I think the onus, by way of, let's just talk about attendance, I think the onus of helping people to see what the Bible teaches us about that is on us as pastors and elders.
Correct.
You know, that we're proclaiming that faithfully and regularly from God's word on a Sunday morning. I think we're helping people understand that, I mean, all throughout the New Testament, when people were saved and baptized, they were added to that number. They were added to that church. People knew who they were. Some of them, it seemed, had a formal list of people. I mean, they had a list of widows and orphans, right? So they had that
First
part.
Timothy 5.
Some didn't necessarily have that. Paul came in and helped them to set up some sort of structure. But I think the pastors, elders, still had the responsibility. And I think that's where, in my mind at least, for membership, that's where the onus falls, is on us as pastors and elders. So we've changed some of our process of membership at CBC since when I came. And so we have less of a formal process, and the onus actually is on us. And anybody that signs anything is actually us as elders, to say we've sat down and had a conversation with them to said, here's what our agreement is. Here's what we're expecting from you as members, and here's what we're offering to you as elders.
That sounds formal,
and just to help them understand,
we have something like that in our bylaws.
Brent alluded to this earlier. The extreme of church discipline and somebody coming back and suing you because they signed, I don't actually think that holds up in a court of law. I think what actually holds up in a court of law, if that ever happens, is if in your constitution you have listed this is how we do church discipline, that you follow those things.
Right.
I don't think that's a valuable reason for having church membership.
No, I don't.
I mean, I've been a part of a church that, you know, we did like a church membership class, and 8 slides were on church discipline. you know, and it's like,
well, the lawyers got into how, that,
you
one.
Know, so yeah, I just think it's,
oh, wait till next week.
Right. Exactly. That's, I just think it's one of those things where, I think again, as pastors, we're responsible to shepherd our people, whether they have signed on the dotted line, so to speak, or they're faithful. I mean, if they call themselves believers and they come to our church, we have a responsibility for them. And a lot of times churches tend to just leave it up to the people, whether or not they want to become a formal member, and some don't. Some don't even have any sort of formal membership. So
but at some point, there has to be a communication of and an agreement to some kind of expectation. Let's move it not from attendance. Let's talk about just serving in your gifts. We all see this of church being basically a thing where I go on Sunday and it's all this way, right? And there's zero output. So how does that fit in where, you know, to somebody that says, well, I'm a happy member here because I come on Sundays, but there's no expression and no service, no recognition, no benefit to the body or them of the expression of their spiritual gift, because they don't know that that's part of that expectation hasn't been set forth.
Do you think it's because they don't know? I don't think it's because they don't know. I mean, every church I've been to, 70-80% of the people are what you just described. They sit and do nothing, and 20-30% do everything.
29.
And it's not because, I don't think it's because they don't know. I just don't. I think maybe they don't know where they could serve.
Well, but, okay. But that's not.
What do you think it is?
I don't think they want
disobedient
to.
Members.
I just don't think they want to. I mean,
goes
people
back to everything
most
we talked about already.
So they want to be a church member.
They want to come on a Sunday.
They want to be a church member, but they don't want to serve.
They want to leave. They want to go about their week.
So are we? Is that okay?
No,
it's normal. I mean, well, is it okay? No. But again, how do you?
We should go put them in a headlock and give them a.
In Jesus' name, of course.
Yeah, this is what I guess I would say, and I'm not trying to be difficult. Because you have them sign an agreement saying this is what we expect of you, is that going to change fundamentally what happens?
Maybe not.
I've
not
seen it.
But.
And then what do you do if they don't?
If you define what the expectation is, at least you're all looking at the same thing. So let me.
We are about up against the clock, so whatever we're getting to, this would be.
So there's one statement here that I'd like you guys all to respond to. Oh, did we get where you wanted to go today, David, or no?
I didn't have a dog in the fight. I mean, I didn't have an agenda.
Okay.
I just thought you wanted to get through what you had put together.
Well,
I had notes on stuff, but I don't have to say.
See,
everything.
You laid out. Terry, you laid out clearly defined expectations. And look at what happened.
Okay, so. So Mark Dever, the founder of Nine Marks, comments something on this order. This is not a quote, but it's something like this, advocating formal church membership. And he says something like this. If you have no gate and no fence, no one can tell who is in and who is out. Your thoughts on that statement?
I've always known any church I've been a part of who's in and who's out.
Out of what?
Well, who's fringe and who's committed.
Who's committed, you know, and not committed.
I mean, you just have a pretty clear understanding of that. Mm-hmm. If you know your people well at all. And I would say most congregants know it too. I don't think it's a mystery.
So I will say that there was one aspect of this that I thought we might get into, which we didn't, that plays exactly into this. This is where the size of your church.
Oh, true.
Like starts to play like a big role in some of these beliefs and these questions.
Actually, for Capitol Hill, that's probably a realistic problem.
So Capitol Hill probably, I think he probably sits at like 700 or something like that, which
I think that's about right.
It's give or take 100, right? Like to me, that's a big church. To me, even if you've got like a multiplicity of elders, like you don't have a guy who's able to make that call from week to week. On who's committed and who's not. Yep. He just simply can't see
it.
And the elder team probably can't accurately see it, right? It's really convenient for like us or even you guys that have a manageable number and a plurality of pastors, you know, elders, that we do see it. Like it's not hidden. Like, who's doing what, you know, in that, in a primary sense.
Not that we get it right every time, but
no,
you have a,
for
you have
sure.
a basic idea.
For sure.
You do, but to talk to that particular dynamic that you're talking about at Capitol Hill, they do have their membership, formal membership, divvied up between their elders so that they do know. It's a kind of a congregation.
Well, I think they have a name. I think they have a list of names.
Yeah.
And then know, people that, you know, if someone's dying or not dying or has cancer or doesn't have cancer. But I don't know if they can, on a personal level with every single one of those people, maybe they can, like, have the good enough sense to go, like, I see this person's disposition toward the church. It's clearly this. I see this person's disposition. It's clearly, I don't think they can know them on that close of a level. Maybe they can. I don't know.
Well, and I think it's, I mean, in some ways it's sort of the trellis on the vine, right? I mean, the vine of the people, and the trellis is the structure that we've set up to help us help them grow. And I think, I mean, like, for us, we have a shepherding list, right? So we have people that are on there that are a mix. Some that are regular attenders, some that are official members, if you want to call them that. And we're responsible for all of them regardless. And then we add to that as we have people that come and are faithfully committed and they're more consistently and regularly. And I think that that's our responsibility to know them and to know, hey, I haven't seen so-and-so for a few weeks, or, hey, you know, we need to get in contact with them, whatever the case might be. So we have a way to go about doing that. I don't, in my mind, just because they have a quote-unquote membership card or they don't.
Sure.
I still have a responsibility to them as members of the, you know, invisible global church that have chosen to come and begin to get connected to the local church.
So this was the other subcategory I thought we would run into, but we didn't. But you just brought it up. There's, like, I think so much of the way that you view this and how formal something should be or whatnot, I think we have to be real careful with over-localizing our emphasis on membership. And this is part of the reason why I don't do the two-tier thing. Is because there we couldn't do it to a fault, in my opinion. I've seen it in ways where everything's about this local congregation and the people that belong to it and the people that don't. Like, we do need to have a healthy theology of the global church and our responsibility and placement in the global church rather than just the local church. And that's a whole nother, like, rabbit trail we don't have time for, but it's an important, like, conversation to even insert into this, or some of where this is going anyway. Yeah.
Well, I think, I would go back to what I think you said this earlier. We have people the same, right? They're snowbirds. They come here for part of the year. It's like, be committed wherever you're at.
Oh, sure.
Serve in that church wherever you're at. Yeah, you know, be involved in that local body.
But when you go down south, you're committed somewhere, right?
To the church.
So, global.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's just finish on this. Something hopefully that will be helpful, kind of takeaway, because I don't know that we've really solved.
There's so much more.
There is.
Well, I don't think we haven't solved it, right?
No, we don't. But I think to lay it out there, to know that the considerations are the same, and that's really what this last question has to do that I'd like you guys to address.
Hey, what's the Challies quote?
I didn't get into Challies. No, Challies would be all over this.
I
anyway,
to hear it.
Yeah, and I couldn't do him justice anyway.
Right.
So it's not that the issue of formal or informal membership is not important, but looking past that for a moment, what are maybe three or four essential things for members, formal or informal, to remember and practice? Mm. Speak to that.
Well, I think the biggest one for me is that this is for your benefit. I there's so many people that have kind of, I don't know, been discouraged in the church or maybe disenfranchised with church, and so they've walked away from it. But this is, God has built this into his good design for his people, that we do life together and we're in community together. And if you're missing out on that, you're missing out on, I mean, it's going to take a toll in major ways. So this is for our benefit. This isn't something we're just trying to, you know, stick it to you and make sure, you know, you guys need to be here. You need to serve. You need to give.
Right.
It's not really about that. It's about
Where were you last Sunday?
So to speak to that,
this
too,
is good to the church.
Yeah, Brent, for just a second. All of us know a lot of people that have had personal conflicts with people in churches and just left because of that. So is in this body life business, does God teach, build up, and edify even through conflicts and
sometimes all especially that kind of through stuff. Them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like a family. It's the same kind of thing. You know, when you're committed in your family, you work through these things.
Not a club, and a family.
And when you work through them, you're stronger for it. Okay. I mean, David and I, you know, we won't go into the story, but it's like some of the stuff we've been through and our families have been through together could have made or break, you know,
Brent's
made us
tough
or
to
broke
do life
us.
With, man. I know. Like, he's tough.
Can you imagine?
It's been like 20 years now.
But the fact that we fought through these things made us a stronger team.
I think that's where the challenge comes. That I don't think people, I would encourage people to wrap their minds around the fact that the church is a family.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is a family.
We're going to spend eternity together.
You have to wrap your mind around that, because you think about in any of our families, we have the option, right? We're either out or we're not. We come into conflict and we either choose to work through it or we don't. And we know that if we choose not to work through the conflict, we're not going to be as healthy as we ought to be.
That's it.
And even if you go someplace else.
Right. Even if you go someplace else, because as my mom used to always say, no matter where you go, you always take yourself with you. Right. So you find that happens. And I think Christians need to change their mindset about the church being a family. It's got to be something that they begin to think more about it, yep. because I think it will help them in how they see it. And in my mind, I think probably there's probably five things that I think about. I think there's attending, I think there's loving, I think there's serving, I think there's giving, and I think there's receiving. When I think about the church,
that's
because
good. I just had receiving on my list, but that's
I
a
think
good
it's,
list.
I just had some submission
because I think
online.
It helps people to have more ownership. I think it helps them to get connected. Because we have people that will say, well, I'm not connected, so I'm going to go somewhere else. And what I say to them typically is, you know, I understand that. And here's part of the reason you haven't gotten connected here. And so as you go somewhere else, here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to give and receive, right? Because the church is not just about receiving. It's actually about giving. It's about you giving of your time and your talent and your treasure so that you have ownership in that body of believers. Because then when things get difficult, you're going to be more apt to work through it rather than like, yep, I'm out.
Sure. So is it okay to use the D word there, duty, that's your duty as a member of the local body of Christ? Okay. Because I think that's where a lot of this formality or informality where it loses traction is that people don't want to think that there's any duties, that this is just a, you know, that healthy membership in a biblical membership in a local body of Christ doesn't require, right. There's no duties to it. Mm-hmm. It's just all, you know, it's the church. And,
right.
You know, I go to the church, so it's all this way.
Well, because right? the church is not just here for you. You're here for the church. And I think that we sometimes lose sight of that. Like, I think there's people that don't really understand who they are and the value they bring as they come to serve in a church. The gifts that God has given them, they're using those to the best of their abilities. And the impact that has for eternity in a church, because I think our culture is so built around the kingdom of self rather than the kingdom of God, right? And I think it's...
Well, the kingdom of the spotlight, too. Since I'm not a preacher or a teacher or whatever, then what I don't have anything that matters.
Yeah, and maybe we can help as pastors in that to say, hey, we're so thankful for what you do. Yeah. We value what you do, and we encourage them. You know, like Janet, you know, like we're thankful for how you were involved in the church and served us, and we're mm-hmm. sad to see you go, right? I mean, that ought to always be the case, right? Like,
yeah.
You feel like a part of you goes when somebody leaves,
that's definitely
right?
The case
and there's know. Times you're like, all right, can I help you find another place? You know,
don't let the door hit you.
But it's like,
David, last word, three or four things.
I don't have one. Like, I mean, I agree with everything that was said. Most of this was said last week, right? And that is the truth. Like, is knowing that you haven't you haven't joined a club. You haven't joined a corporation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Something where it's just that you belong to. You have been brought into something bigger than yourself, and it's a family. It's a mm-hmm. living organism. And I think that right there takes care of itself, you know, in a lot of... There's so many avenues. Like, my head's kind of like busting out right now because there's so many more things that we could talk about that I think would be helpful and significant, but we're out of time.
Well, maybe we can do that.
Well, we may need to go three-part or something. I don't know. Ooh. We may need to debrief it. We may have the 27 marks.
The one gone. Thing I would say real quick, that when we have these discussions, the discussions we have with different people of our membership. The heart is the same. We want to see people thriving, and we want to see the church thriving. We love the church, and so committed Christians, it just benefits the church, and that's really what we're trying to figure out, what the best way to go about doing that. You know, and be biblical about it, obviously. Yeah. But I really appreciate all the people that
I would say be charitable to your to your fellow pastors that may have a strong conviction on how they do this and how this works out. Like, let's all have the same goal. And I think this is it. I mean, that's the biggest thing. If you're going to a Bible church, you're going to hear everything we just talked about. Those people are going to be hearing everything that we just talked about as far as why the bride is there, what the bride is for, how you play into it, how it plays into you. It's going to be like inundated with this information because that's what the Bible talks about if they're at a good Bible church. Unfortunately, there's a lot more churches out there these days who just want their churches, their seats filled, and don't want to talk about the necessaries or the necessities.
Right.
But yeah, go to a good church and you're going to learn how to be a committed member of the family. Yeah.
We're like hour and 10 minutes, man.
Are you serious?
So much for my watch.
Look at him, dude.
Well, who started with the 10 minute thing on the radio stuff?
Look at how down he is.
And by the friends of seven.
Good to have you back, Brent.
Yeah. Somebody pray.
I think someone pray for Brent. Jeff, you want to pray for Brent?
Yeah. Lord, thank you for the fact that we are members of the invisible church just globally. We're grateful for the privilege that we have to be your kids and thankful that you've saved us and you're sanctifying us and have sanctified us, Lord. We're grateful for the privilege to, as pastors, serve in your church. We love the church, Lord, and we want to love it as much as you do, and we're thankful that you did so much that you sent your son to die on the cross for sins, and Lord, we're grateful that you shed your blood for the church. And so we pray, God, that as we pastor it, as we shepherd it, that you would give us wisdom and insight, give us grace, give us generosity and charity towards each other. And God, we pray that we would see people in our churches grow and mature in their faith and come to know Christ and or be committed to the family of faith. And so we are grateful, Lord, just for the privilege you've given us to talk about it today. And thank you for the wisdom that you give us from your word through it. Help us to be faithful to that and faithful to live it out in all we do and all we say. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Jeffy.
Thanks for tuning in to One Decent Pastor. If you'd like more information about the church, go to our website at thedoor3r.org.